recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. I love that about you. I thank birdwell.com, promo code ADS, and lifelock.com, promo code Adam, and visit TrueCar for sponsoring the show. Oh, Drew.
Oh, Adam.
As we speak, I'm getting my colonoscopy.
Finally. Matt, congratulations. How many months of trying has that been to schedule?
It's a big, big accomplishment.
Oh, you must have friends at that doctor's office.
The protocol is I'm going to have to, now, it's a 24 hours thing.
Yeah.
They're going to get a prescription to what?
You'll have a sheet with very specific prescription of behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And the last day you'll be drinking only clear liquids.
The last day.
Yeah, the day before. And then you'll be given, they've got a new prep now where you just take a couple of things, but you have to drink lots of water with it. Lots and lots of water.
Looking forward to it.
As opposed to drinking that gigantic jug of stuff, which is terrible.
Uh-huh.
So it's not so bad. You'll be up a bit at night. It's good times. And is it a morning, Matt? Is it a morning procedure?
Afternoon.
Oh, dude. Why are you doing that?
Because I got to work.
All right. Well, you're going to be running back and forth to the John a bit. You have to. It's just the way it goes.
All right.
Yeah. And, you know.
Because you liquefy everything and you just squirt out your
ass.
It's
literally like taking a hose at one end and just squirting it through to the other end.
I know what it's like to take the hose to the business end.
I know. It's like that. It's like that, except it's coming down from above.
Mm-hmm. And you get all cleaned out, and then you
spick
go
and
in.
Spick and span, because, you know, you don't want to have any mucus shunts or any, what do they call it? The colon?
Hold on.
They have a whole name for the stuff that comes out.
Well, but
so
there's
silly.
A lot of bad vibes in there, if that's what you're
so
looking
silly.
At. Yeah. There's a lot of toxins.
Yeah, you get a lot of toxins. Out. You so see it coming out, you out. See it, there they are.
Yeah, look at that toxin. So how long does the procedure take?
Oh, less than an hour.
And
half hour.
And they give you some magic milk.
Well, are they giving you the milk?
I don't know.
Because you're in that age group where they like to give it. We got to ask Matt again. If they have an anesthesiologist, you're getting the milk. If they don't, you're getting the Versed.
I want the propofol.
Yeah, I know. You want an anesthesiologist then.
Matt,
we got to get back on the horn, Matt.
Matt'll have to figure it out. Well, I just assume that's what they did because that's what you said they do.
Matt, do you know what the anesthesia is they're using?
I have no idea, but let me take a look.
Yeah, because if they don't have an anesthesiologist, they're not giving him the big stuff.
Mm.
So
why don't I get the good stuff?
I've only done that. I've had like six colonoscopies at least, and I always did the Versed, and the last time it gave me a terrible headache. So
how's the Versed work?
It's like a very strong Valium, you know.
How long before the procedure do you take it?
Oh, it's right. They shoot it in. And you go.
Oh,
to
they
sleep.
Shoot it in.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
it's not as powerful. Propofol, you are just gone instantly. Versed, they have to kind of dose it up right, and you can kind of come in and out a little bit. Propofol, you're out till they stop it.
That's what I'd like to be.
All right, so Matt, you have to reschedule,
and then I want to ride a motorcycle home.
I'll get right on that. By the way, this does say that if you fail to have an adult accompany you,
yeah, that's all of them. That's
your procedure
all
will be canceled.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they got to show up with somebody.
Yeah.
All right. I'll tell Olga. She's gonna be busy on Monday night.
Was it this Monday?
Yeah.
Oh, I
it was
can't
yesterday.
Wait. Yeah.
Yeah. According to this, so it'll be fun, and I'll get home, and then what?
I got to put it on my calendar.
Put on your calendar.
What time?
It's in the afternoon. Like,
you plan to follow him there, Drew?
I might.
All right. It's
like 1:30.
1:30. Yeah. Yeah, we're doing two shows
on the radio then.
I can call in on the propofol.
It's gonna be so good.
All right. Then they're gonna take a look.
Yeah.
And
if they see something, they'll biopsy it or take it out if they need to.
Right. We're not gonna have to go through that retarded dance where they want to show me the videotape, are they? Are we?
They may show you pictures at the end.
Not interested.
Okay. Just tell them, not interested. Just ask, when do I have to have another one? That's all you really care about. And, you know, and that's that.
As I said to midwife or the whoever, gyno or whoever was taking the twins with the...
What are you talking about?
Well, when that was pregnant with the twins and they were doing the radial you know, a sonogram or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they're like, hey, you want to take the tape? And I said, nah, not really. And they're like, why? And I was like, I don't know. My kids are zygotes, you know. Like, and they said, oh, well, you could show it to the kids later.
Oh.
And I said, yeah, I think they're fine. They'll be fine. And then this is why I'm a dick. You want to know why I'm a dick?
This is why.
Because then the board certified person uttered this to me. How could it hurt? And I said, how could it help?
Oh. I like the way they're fighting with you.
I'm going to make an argument that it could actually hurt more than it could help. My kid could get high on mushrooms, pop that tape in, and jump off a building.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't – so we're, it's right up the entire procedure with having kids – is one big list of people arguing with you about stuff that you don't want to do. But you're going to cut the umbilical cord, right? No. No, I do not. Oh, you're going to miss out. I'm fine. Are you sure? Because it's a pretty important part.
It feels like, yes, I'm good. I'm good with not being involved with the procedure.
It
like the same thing as wedding planning, kind of.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you need those flowers.
You're gonna, if you don't meet with a florist, you're going to resent it every day. You're going to beat yourself up every day.
Yeah.
That's going to be a horrible marriage if you don't meet with the florist. Like,
you need that photographer.
Let's go online and just pick out a bouquet. Oh, no. No.
It's weirdly similar, isn't it?
It's a lot of, like, people trying to convince you that you really need to be emotionally involved with something.
That's a tall order for you.
Which is the point, like, you want to cut the umbilical cord, right? And I'm like, no. Oh, you're going to want to do that, though. Like, I don't think so.
You want to be out in the front with Fred McMurray in a cigar.
Yeah, and then – and they're – it's a dereliction of duty, Drew, because when I said I don't want to cut the umbilical cord because I don't want to be involved with the procedure of this process – later on, they pull the kids out and they hold them over like a chafing dish and they go, all right, now cut it. And I'm like, well, it's already been cut.
Oh, they were just...
Yeah, no, just symbolically, you just cut another inch off. And it's like, oh, now this is really stupid. First off, why didn't you tell me it's a symbolic thing?
Did you start screaming in the delivery room?
I'm left-handed.
Did you start screaming in the delivery room?
I didn't start screaming. But I am left-handed, and they handed me the scissors because they're right-handed scissors. Right. And as I was trying to negotiate them, like turn them upside down and put them in my left hand, I did almost drop them on my son and stab him with these scissors.
How could it hurt?
But by the way, I made it clear I wanted no part of this. And the reason I want no part of it is because I'm not a goddamn voodoo priest. Because I'm a fucking rational human being who knows it doesn't make a fucking difference.
They shame you in front of your wife, though. Oh, no, we'll get into it.
Here we're going to do. I know you said three times you didn't want to be involved with this, but here's our window.
Yeah.
Here's our window to get this guy to do. We got him. Here's our window to get him to do shit he doesn't want to do that makes a fucking difference.
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah.
At a certain point, I got yelled at for using the bathroom in the birthing suite. Do your bit. I'll tell you about that. I told her to buzz off.
Here's something you will want. That's Birdwell Beach Britches.
Yes.
Legendary quality. That's right. I wore them back in the 70s. People still show up at the Birdwell store wearing the same pair they had from the 70s, even before. They were built for surfing, but they are perfect for any activity, particularly water sports. The Birdwell proprietary two-ply nylon, inspired by the sails of the boats anchored at Newport Beach. And then they must have noticed how sort of – comfortable they are and how they dry so quick, and it's just a great piece of clothing. It's perfect for all outdoor and water activity. There just isn't anything better. And 10% off with your first Birdwell Beach Britches purchase. There's a lifetime guarantee and free shipping if you spend over $99. And if you use the promo code at checkout, ADS, let's see, you get 10% off. 10% off that first Birdwell Beach Britches purchase by using the code ADS at checkout. It's simple. I did it myself. I love their stuff, so I went on and bought some. I used that code, and pow, then I added more to make it over $99, so I get free shipping. It's discount code ADS at birdwell.com.
We had the birthing suite, a thing you got to pay extra for.
Yeah.
Get to sit there and wait. Suite, and I used the bathroom in the suite.
You're not allowed to?
No.
You got to go to the public
restroom. I walked
restroom.
Out of the bathroom the nurse was like walking in and went like, excuse you, that's for the patient. And I was like, yeah. Well, what are you going to do? You going to go get the piss out of the toilet? And she's like, yeah, that's for the patient. And I said, yeah,
I
heard
you. Did you say, are you going to get the pee out of the toilet?
No, I said, yeah, I just said, my new thing, by the way, is my new thing with all the fucking creatures out there that are trying to, like I said, like I was at the Christmas party. I was at the Christmas party and my Christmas party last year.
Yeah.
And I had the middle-aged chick come up to me and go, do you remember me? And I go, no, I don't. And she said, at my Christmas party. Yeah. And she said, do you remember me? And I said, no. And I don't, but I meet a lot of people. You don't remember me? I said, no, but I do. I meet a lot of people. And so forgive me if I haven't. I forgot your name. You don't remember? And I said, and I just walked away. I gave her three tries. The third one, fuck you, whore. I'm walking away. What do you want me to do? Just infinity engage you in this fucking chasing a tail of a dog that doesn't exist? You know what I mean? My new thing is I just walk like the nurse is like, hey, excuse me, that toilet's I said, it is now. And I just walked, I said, hey, I paid for the suite. And I just walk away. I'm not even gonna waste my time engaging them. And then they always do this one. Well, next time there is no next time. I'll never be here again. So that's that. Anyway, go about your fucking way. By the way, I did talk to an employee about her. I said,
about
hey.
The nurse?
Yeah. Her attitude was horrible. And I said, hey, listen, people come in here and they're bundling nerves and she's coming in here getting mouthy and it's not helping anybody. And I don't know what she's doing on this floor. And they went, I know, she does it to everyone. I'm like, well, how about you fire her fucking ass if she does it to everyone who's pregnant and a bundle of fucking nerves who comes in here and you got this cunt running up and down the floor settling everyone's hash and you're well aware of it. It's like it's a running joke. But you fucking get rid of her. They must have a hell of a union. They must have something going on because this person was like, I know, she does it to everyone. I was like, oh, she harangues all the pregnant couples that buy the birthing suite?
She could be the charge nurse. Who knows?
They must have a hell of a union. That's all I'm saying, because this person was well aware that this person was a bitch and bothered everyone. And I have no idea about your fucking birth, the toilet procedures and the protocol, but I fucking bought the suite, and there's a bathroom in the suite. So I'm going
to
use it.
It is a very strange move to want to exert your power and privilege over what? It's very strange.
I don't understand the motivation. This is why I'd make the world's worst meter maid. Yeah. But especially nurse in the birthing suite. If the dad walked out of the bathroom, I'd never say shit. If my supervisor said to me in the lunchroom an hour earlier, hey, listen, Matilda, do not let anybody use that birth. I would still look around. If I didn't see my supervisor, I wouldn't say shit. Because I know all those guys. Next stop. Down to have the kids pulled out with a melon baller, and then you're out of here, never to be seen again. Why do you feel like we need to talk to you? You know what I mean? Who is that person?
I know.
And also, how receptive do you think I am after paying a shitload of money for this place when you're telling me, oh, yeah, but next time, oh, yeah, yeah, when I come into my other family in four days, I got my guma. She's got triplets.
No.
So I'll be in.
She'll be making pizza.
So good to know. Good to know. Let me mark that down. Never been in a fucking hospital again. Who are these people, Drew?
I know. I don't get it.
I don't get it. I don't get what's in it for them.
No.
Maybe they feel better, or
they
must,
or else they like feeling bad. Or I don't know.
I would fire her ass, especially when the person or two I talked to about her immediately knew who I was talking about. Okay. Nice job, sweetie. Larry, 38, St. Louis. Larry?
Sorry.
Yeah.
Let me take you off. Did you see Garcetti's tweet from earlier today about the Supreme Court upholding the Muslim ban?
Oh, boy.
He's a real hero. But he tweeted something, apparently, let's see, I'll read it here. I don't know.
We got it. You want to read it?
You can read it.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Garcetti said, today's Supreme Court decision condones discrimination against Muslims worldwide. That is wrong and un-American. As the city with the most people impacted by the travel ban, L.A. can assure you we are keeping our country safe without abandoning the ideals that define who we are. And the screenshot I saw, someone replied immediately to him, "You had cops disperse us when we protested the Muslim ban at LAX. Only after you stopped by earlier for the photo op, of course. You are not on our side."
He's the guy that's endangering us with complete failure of the sanitation system in Los Angeles. Complete. There's going to be illness this summer, the likes of which, I swear to God.
So that he recently came out and said he's going to make being homeless illegal, essentially. And everyone's all the liberals are cracking down on him for that, too.
Yeah.
I don't know the details of that exactly, but something about you can't camp in the city or you can't sleep on the sidewalk.
There's already laws about that. Those laws exist. They just have to enforce them.
Well, it's an interesting time.
They've also outlawed sleeping in your car. So, that's one solution.
Thank you,
there's places for them to go now. They just need to go there. They're refusing to go. That's the problem.
Well, here's where we jump the shark as a nation, especially. But as a city and a state, we're sort of at the tip of the spear for this, which is when the football coach is having everyone run 40-yard sprints to see who the fastest guy on the team is or who should be the skilled players, handle the ball, so to speak, and he clocks your slow ass at a 5-4, he's merely reporting what the stopwatch said to you. We understood that in the past. Now he's a mean person, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when you get suspended, it's because the school or the principal is mean. Or when you get detained at the border, it's because we hate people from your culture. Everything has taken a turn.
At some point,
somebody's going to get hit by lightning and someone's going to declare that the clouds are mean and that was a hate crime. We used to realize that when you ran into the cops or you ran into a manager or you ran into a person in a position and that person told you to put some shoes on or you can't come into the restaurant or the cops said move along or whatever it was or the principal said you're suspended – it wasn't that person being mean. It was a person doing their job. Like if you worked at the border and you detained someone for illegally crossing the border, it wasn't because you were a bad person. It was because your job is to protect the border. Now everything has taken some sort of turn for we've attached a feeling to it. So
more than a feeling, you imagine the contents of the mind of the person executing their job, even the cloud. You imagine the contents of the cloud's mind.
Right.
The cloud's a mean person who means me ill.
Telling homeless people they can't take a Duke in the park and set up encampments doesn't make you a mean person. It makes you a person who's enforcing the law, and it actually – you're looking out for the safety and welfare of the people in the community and the homeless person who use the park.
Yeah.
Or whose kids don't want to step on a hypodermic needle. It's a great campaign. You simply call everyone mean or hateful who tries to enforce something, and eventually people don't want to be called hateful.
But we've literally broken down civilization. Civilization is actually breaking down now. If you look, go to those encampments now. There's dumps on either side of every encampment, feces 10 feet high, rats covering them. Our backyard.
Hold on, I got to beat off. Slow down.
But listen, our house and yard is covered with rats, and I've had a rat guy there every other day. We pulled out, I kid you not, probably 100 rats. And he says he can't keep the – he's a rat guy. He can't keep the little wood snap things. Can't keep them – they can't find them.
Old rat trap.
Yeah, the old little rat trap. They can't get them because they're all – we're so overrun in this town. The rats have fleas. The fleas in this part of the country have something called rickettsia. And so there's going to be huge rickettsial outbreaks. Also norovirus. Jordan got norovirus from walking by a homeless encampment because the norovirus is volatilized from the feces.
Right.
So this is what we're dealing with now. Breakdown of basic sanitation, which is the foundation of civilization. Well done, Garcetti. It's his number one problem. It's number one.
It's his number one problem.
I don't want to see number two. I would hate to see number two.
Well, I think you're Your son stepped in number two on his way to
Thank
his
you.
Gig.
True car. This is number one. Car tips. Car tips. Roommate, I'm not going to give any car tips because you know all the tips.
That's right.
You don't need the tips. You need, and by the way, if you don't know this tip, what's wrong with you? True Car sells used cars with a True Car certified dealer network and a nationwide inventory of nearly 1 million used cars. That's your tip if you don't know it. And you get to enjoy real pricing on actual inventory. So you see a scattergram. You know you're getting a good deal before you're buying because you see what others paid. You lock in a price for an actual inventory, an actual car in a True Car certified dealer's lot. And you really enjoy a much faster buying experience by connecting with that True Car certified dealer network. Connect with the dealer, True Car certified dealer, and you'll get a simpler, faster buying experience. So when you're ready to buy new or used, that's your tip, new or used, check out True Car, and you'll enjoy a more confident, fast, simpler, but confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states.
A couple good calls up here. There's Scott from Nashville, 43. Scott?
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What is your story?
It's crazy. I've been wanting to tell you about it for so long. I figured you'd appreciate the being screwed by the law enforcement. But in November 2nd of 2016, on my way, I have a 45-minute drive to work, and, you know, I've been doing it two times a day, 5 days a week for the past 14 years. And these guys, like, in a, I know you like Datsun, so no offense to Datsun, but this piece of shit, $300 Datsun, multicolored, starts slamming his brakes on for, I guess, some kind of insurance scam. So I stopped, let him get out of my view.
You guys have Mexicans in Nashville?
Yeah. No, it's white trash. White trash. And it ended up being a father and son duo, both with criminal records.
But, yeah, this is kind of an illegal thing out here. A lawyer that we both know is currently, I just talked to him at a barbecue, being sued by an insurance company because he rear-ended an illegal at a very low speed. No damage to the car. Sued his insurance company $2 million.
What?
The fact that undocumented, doesn't have a driver's license, and doesn't have insurance cannot be brought up in the courtroom.
Oh, my God.
The idea that it's not admissible that this person doesn't own a driver's license.
We've gone insane. Here.
Yeah.
Right.
California.
They hit my father-in-law, and they were drunk. Some Mexicans were hit my father-in-law's truck and took off, and another guy said pulls up to him and said, if you called this, like, I'd be in the back of your police car if it was me. He said, yeah, we were told not to file any paperwork with illegals.
Yeah, it's good. I guess sanctuary city. So anyway, this guy, this white trash couple, guy and his son, they're hitting the brakes in front of you trying to get you to rear end. You're aware of this scam, Drew?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty easy. Yeah. Look, the reason that's a scam, or the reason it, look, if you want to do it this way, here's the deal. If somebody rear-ends somebody else, it's always the fault of the person who rear-ended them.
Exactly.
Always.
Right.
Even if you're going down the middle of the highway at 65 miles an hour, there's no traffic and no obstructions, and the person in front of you just slams their brakes on. And we all know if somebody did that to us, it'd be very easy to hit them.
Yeah.
But that's the way it works. So they were doing that, and what happened?
Yeah. So I realized that. I stopped and gave them a distance, let them get out of my view. It's a curvy little two-lane road. There's no shoulders. Let them get out of my view. They disappear. So and they already tried to turn off once, and they pull back in front of me. So I know they're not going the direction I'm going. So anyway, I let them get out of view. I came around a curve, and I see them parked on the side, or just pretty much in the middle of the road. There is no shoulder. And as soon as they show up, I mean, they see me in the rearview mirror, they pull in the road, start trying to do it again. So I know the road well enough to, I know there's a passing point coming up, so I know they're not going the way I'm going, that they're going to turn around eventually. So I pass them legally on a dotted line, and I see the driver kind of swerve over to get as much momentum as he can. And I'm like, as this is happening, I'm thinking, he's not going to do this. He's not going to do this. And swerves, rams into the passenger side of my truck. I almost lose control, control again. And I figured they're drunk or, I don't know, tweaked on meth or something, just rampant out here. And I proceed to where we now have a house built. this 10 acres of land that we were working on. I was doing some work around there. And I look at my truck to see the damage, and I'm like, how can I live with this company? I have three kids. The only dad. And I thought, well, I better call the police. You know, my luck, it bent the frame or something in my pickup. So I call in and tell them where I'm at, invite them to come out here and look at it, and they say, no, we need to take pictures. I said, okay, well, can I come by the police station later for that? No, 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 you need to meet me right now. Okay, so he said, stay on the phone with me. And I was like, oh, okay. So I'm talking to him the whole time, you know, repeatedly invite him out to where I'm at. I was like, there's no real address yet, but I'll wave you down. Anyway, no, he insists, meet him in front of this Food Line Kmart spot. On the phone the whole time. I'm almost there, I'm pulling in, blah, blah, blah. And blah, when blah, I show blah. Up...
I get to it, Scott. So, the phone line's getting a little wanky.
Sorry.
All right.
So I pull up, and there's a SWAT team, multiple cars there with their guns drawn, and they start telling me, Scott, stop your truck, put your hands out with your keys. And I'm like, I'm parking. Of course, I'm lucky I didn't get shot now, but I just park into a parking space, get out. I don't know what's going on. Turns out these guys called in ahead of time, fabricated a story, said that I tried to shoot, I was firing my weapon at them out of my truck. And I kind of laugh. I'm like, yeah, right. And I realized this dumbass detective, he bought these guys' story, just hook, line, and sinker. I end up getting charged with two counts of attempted second-degree murder. Mm. They handcuff me, take me in to another county where I work. So there's two counties involved. I find out they have $101,000 bail for me to get out. I keep thinking, well, they're going to figure this out eventually. No, this is still going. So a year to the day.
I'm actually surprised this kind of thing, the world we live in, where people are just accused of things on social media, and then the expectation is you suffer. You're going to get some. You're going to lose your job. You're going to. Something bad's going to happen to you because I accused you of something. I'm surprised this kind of thing doesn't happen more out in the real world. If this had been 5 years ago or 10 years ago, I would have been like bewildered by this. Now I'm like, surprised this doesn't happen all the time.
It's 2016, and my wife's an attorney, and so we have. I've spent probably 30, 40 grand. In legal fees now just to prove that they're lying. They ask if I own a weapon. I say yeah. Legally, I have a concealed carry permit. I don't carry it. I go on motorcycle trips sometimes to camping, and I just want to have something in case. Anyway, so I tell them, tell them where it's at and everything. They end up searching. Of course, I'm already handcuffed. They're taking me back to the county. I'm just like, and I started thinking of TV shows. I'm like, gunpowder residue. I was like, test me for gunpowder. We don't do that.
Yeah.
So anyway, the charges were dismissed a year to the day later, November 2nd, 2017. Mm. And I have nothing. Of course, they take my gun, they send it to the TBI with a casing that one of the victims found in the middle of the road while I'm in jail. And they go by what this victim finds. Hey, look what I have here. So the hearing that followed, they were 70 yards behind him in the road, and it just happened to be sitting in the middle of a highway.
Yeah. Like hours. Right. Listen, Scott, the show's not as long as you are.
Sorry.
So what is your question?
Sorry. My question is, I don't understand. I can't get over this. Like, there's a lawsuit now pending against the sheriff and the county, and I've never sued anybody in my life. Can't stand people, litigious people. But I'm being forced to sue the quote-unquote good guys in this situation.
All right. I think we've all, anyone who's had any degree of success or not, actually, is been there's different forms of victimization.
Yeah.
You know, we've all had something stolen from us. We've all had some family member that borrowed some money and like never paid it back and then got angry or something at you. Or I got sued by patent troll and spent 700 grand in legal fees. And at the end, they just dropped it and went away. And we crowdfunded and did other things like that. But I was out of pocket as well. And it's sort of like, geez, it was all nothing.
Yeah.
Like, and it's sad that we live in a society.
Yeah.
Our first thing was just dismiss it. Just talk to the judge. These guys who are like in Beaumont, Texas, just go, we're suing you. And you go, for what? Oh, we invented the internet, you know? And you go, that's meritless. And I go, 700 grand and 500 emails later and a year of your life. And they go, all right, anyway, they're moving on. And you're like, well, what am I? Where's the apology? Where's my 700 grand?
No apologies.
Where's the judge? Is he playing golf now?
Yeah.
Where's he?
And that's part of the deal is the feeling of helplessness is what he's got him
right,
all caught
but
up.
The only thing you have to realize is these people are miserable, and you only have one life.
Yeah.
And you just have to have a short memory. You just have to move on. I know it sounds trite, but what I'm saying is you literally just have to go, that's in the rear view, and there's so much good that's before me.
It's not, but he is already involved in a suit on the good guys, so to call it, and they did not exactly behave properly.
Yeah, I get it. And if I had some legal recourse to get the judge thrown out or get the whatever thrown out, I'd do it. But on the other hand, I probably wouldn't because I'd look at it as just more of my life.
Right. So make a choice. But yeah, you need to maybe get some trauma therapies because this is PTSD you're sort of hooked up with here. Mm-hmm. That feeling of helplessness really is tough to deal with. And like EMDR, that kind of thing can very much help.
LifeLock, that can help. Summertime tips to reduce your risk of getting hacked while traveling. Change passwords before you leave and again when you return. Leave non-essential devices at home. Like I won't bring – I just travel with my waffle iron. Mm. It's heavy. Not essential. I leave it at home.
That's good.
Yeah.
I'd rather you leave it home.
Mm-hmm. So would LifeLock. Don't trust public Wi-Fi. Oh, done and done. I don't know how to use that. Well, I tried to use it on a plane once, and at certain after I handed my phone to three different people, they went, eh.
You don't use Wi-Fi on a plane?
It's never worked.
There's something with you.
I can't do it.
That's you.
I'm not good enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not officially.
So many threats in today's digital world. Good thing LifeLock Identity Theft Protection includes the power of Norton Security for added protection. LifeLock uses a proprietary technology to help protect against identity theft, like your info for sale on the dark web. Norton helps protect against online threats like ransomware. If you have a problem, their agents will work to fix it, but you won't, right, Drew?
That's right. No one can stop every cyber threat, prevent all identity theft, or monitor transactions at all businesses. But new LifeLock with Norton Security is able to uncover threats you might otherwise miss. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK. Use the promo code ADAM for an additional 10% off your first year. Again, that is promo code ADAM for an additional 10% off.
All right. You want to find out what's going on? We got lots of new merch and cool stuff and a whole new designed website and everything at adamcarolla.com. So go take a look and get a beach towel with my dog on it. How about that? And go to Chassis as well. Also, you should check out Podcast One, the Big 12 podcast. And check it out, Podcast One and podcast1.com and Apple Podcasts as well. Drew?
Go to Dr.com. At the Dr. Podcast this week is all callers. It's a good one.
So, until next time, Adam Crowe for Dr. Drew saying, aholla.